You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, #NoFilter. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you, and I want to give a special shout out to all of our moms, and I just want to wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. You are precious and valuable, and we want you to know that here at New Point. But even beyond that, we want to celebrate every woman here today, because every woman here today is created in the image of God. And when God visited earth 2,000 years ago, one of the things that Jesus did is he elevated women in everyone's eyes. Culture basically treated them like second-class citizens. But Jesus elevated and said, you know what? They're created in the image of God. And so that makes them special and valuable and important. And so for all you women, whether you're a daughter or whether you're a mother, we want you to know that we love you. More importantly, God loves you and he values you, and we do as well here at New Point. Now, I'm glad that all of us are here because we're kicking off a brand new series, and it's called #NoFilter. #NoFilter. Now, we are not our labels, and though people want to put labels on us, probably every single one of us here today could name a label that someone has put on us. But I want you to understand and I want you to know that we are not our labels. We are not what other people have said about us. And I want you to get that in your mind because it's so, so, so important. We aren't even the broken image that we look at in the mirror day after day after day. We're something more than that. And we're not in need of an Instagram filter that makes us look better, that makes us look thinner, that makes us look smarter, that makes us look stronger or prettier or funnier or even holier. What we're really in need of is being able to see ourselves the way that God sees us. That is so important. You know, two of the most important things in life, and you've heard me say this, but it bears repeating, is this: your view of God and then your view of how God sees you. You get those two things right, you're going to live life to the fullest. You're going to realize and you're going to reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. If you will get your view of God right, and your view of how God views you right, then you know what? You're going to live an incredible, fulfilling, fun, fruitful life. And that's basically what this series is all about. So we're glad that you're here. But you and I struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. And it's because of filters in our life. And I want to share some with you. And I'm sure that you're going to be able to say, yep, you know what, Dwight, that's influenced me. Yep, that's impacted me. And so let's look at them. I encourage you to take your note-taking guide and follow with me as we go along. Here's the first filter I want to talk about. And that is the personal filter. The personal filter. And this has to do with my thinking. My thinking, okay? You've heard me say this before. You cannot act inconsistent with how you think. How you think determines how you behave. And so the first filter that you and I usually run through is our own thinking. And here's what I mean by that. When you think about what God thinks about you, what do you think he thinks about? When God thinks about you, what do you think he thinks about? Is it good? Is it positive? Or is it bad? Or is it negative? So what do you think that God thinks about when he thinks about you? Let me help you with that, okay? Here's how it usually goes in our way of thinking. If I'm having a good day, maybe I read the Bible. I don't know. Maybe I prayed over my food. Maybe I didn't yell at the kids. Maybe even today I gave an offering. Maybe I opened the car door for someone, or maybe I let someone go ahead of me. Whatever it is, whenever you have a tendency to think that you have a good day, you're not yelling at anybody, you're not cussing at anybody, okay? You're not mad at anybody. What do you think God thinks of you? Most of us would say, I think God's pretty happy with me. I had a good, good day. Didn't swear at anybody. Didn't flip anybody off. I didn't yell at my spouse. I didn't get in an argument. I had a pretty good day. God, I even went to church. Pretty good. And so what happens is, when we are happy with ourselves, we have a tendency to think that God's happy with us. But maybe you didn't have a good day. Maybe you went to the website you shouldn't have gone to. Maybe you said something that you shouldn't have said. Maybe you did get in an argument with your spouse and you knew you were wrong, but you weren't willing to admit it. Maybe you lied to somebody. Maybe you gossiped about somebody. The list could go on and on and on. Maybe you gave into that addiction. What do you think God thinks about you now? What do you think God thinks about you when he thinks about you on your bad day? Y'all okay? You see, the first filter that we usually run things through is our own personal filter, my way of thinking. And what happens is we think that God gets his cues from us. That if I think I'm doing okay, then God must be thinking I'm doing okay. If I am thinking that I'm doing lousy, then God must be thinking that I am doing lousy. And so we think and we live thinking that God thinks about us the way in which we think about us. What would you say if I told you that God doesn't get his cues from you and me on how he thinks about you and me? That would blow some of our minds. Because we have a tendency to think that God thinks about us the way that we think about us. And so when we're doing well, we think that God is pleased with us. When we're not doing well, then we think that God is displeased with us. Here's another filter. How about others' filter? And this has to do with my behavior. This has to do with my behavior. It's the way in which other people think about us. Because we have learned from day one, have we not? We're born with this, that our behavior matters. Our behavior matters. Our behavior influences the way in which people think about us. Our behavior sets us up to make friends and to keep friends. Our behavior sets us up for success or failure. Our behavior determines whether we succeed in relationships or not. And so since our behavior plays such a big role in other people's lives and what they think of us, we naturally think that God looks at us through our behavior. And that when he thinks about you or he thinks about me, he takes it through the filter of my behavior. And he looks at Dwight on the basis of how he behaved and what he did. Y'all okay? Anybody got that filter? And so what happens is how other people relate to you or what other people say about you. That's how you think that God thinks about you. Because we treat one another based on our behavior. How about this filter? How about the world's filter? The world's filter is based on my performance. Because we know that if we don't perform well, things don't go well. They don't go well in our life. And so we're asked to perform in the home, right? Mom and dad wants us to perform well because they want everybody to know that they're great parents. Look at my kid. Aren't they something? So we're asked to perform at home. We're asked to perform at school. We're asked to perform on the athletic field. We're asked to perform at work. We're asked to perform in relationships. And so we use the world's filter of my performance. Some of us have had to perform for our father, or maybe for our mother, or maybe we've performed against our siblings. We wanted to outdo them. We wanted to outperform them, or maybe even our marriages. And what happens is when we do that, then we never experience love apart from performing. All of the love that we have experienced has been performance-based. You perform well, I love you. But if you don't perform well, I don't love you. And so it's natural for you and me to begin to think that, you know what, I get applause and I get approval and I get acceptance when I perform well. And so when I ask myself, what does God think of me when he thinks of me? It goes back to my performance. How well am I doing in life? Now, what do all three of these have to do with? All three of these have to do with one little word. It's called do. Do. Right? It's called do. That God tends to look at me through the filter of what I do. And if I do that which is right, he loves me. If I do that which is wrong, he doesn't love me. What if you're wrong? What if God's filter is not what you and I do or don't do? You know, you've heard me say this, that there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you less. Do you believe that? Or when you think about what God thinks about you, you run it through the filter of your thinking or your behavior or your performance. That's why this series is so important. Hashtag no filter. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at this. Because what I want to be able to help you with is that God doesn't see you through your way of thinking. God doesn't see you through your behavior. God doesn't see you through your performance. And I want to help you with this, and this is why I'm going to encourage you to pick up the scripture memorization card today. Because all of these things are going to be shared over the next several weeks. And this is so, so, so important that your thinking, your behavior, and your performance does not impact the way in which God views you. Now, here's what I know about everybody in this room. Every single one of us struggle with this. I struggle with it, you struggle with it. And you say, struggle with what? That our behavior doesn't affect the way in which God views us. I was talking to a young man, and he was telling me about a struggle that he had. And I told him this. I said, if you never do that again, God will not love you anymore. And he did. What? Would you say that one more time, Dwight? I said, if you never go there and you never do that again, God will never love you more. He couldn't grasp it because he had this filter that, you know what? God views me through the way in which I perform or the way in which I behave or the way in which I think. And so what is God's filter? Let me tell you what God's filter is. It's Jesus Christ. That's how he sees me. That's how he sees you. But most of us don't get that. We get that here. Many of us here today would say, Dwight, I could even fill that in without you even telling me that. But the question is it here or is it here? And what I want to do is I want to get it from here to here. Because it's out of your heart that you do everything that you do. It's from the core of your being that you do what you do. And so God's filter is Jesus Christ. And here's what I want us to know about Jesus Christ. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Here's what that's saying. God treated Jesus as though he was Dwight, so he could treat Dwight as though he was Jesus. So that he could see Dwight as though he was Jesus. And what is that? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. That word righteousness there means accepted, approved, complete, sufficient. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. And when you get that, it will transform your life. It will transform every relationship. Because, listen to me, okay? I'm going to run to the end of the message here real quick. The way in which you see yourself is the way in which you relate to other people. You want to know why you struggle in your relationships? That's the reason why. That's the reason why. That's why this is so important. See, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness accepted, approved, okay, of God. Here's what Paul goes on to say in another letter that he wrote. He says, therefore, or in light of what I just said, okay, he's talking to the church in Rome, and basically the first seven chapters of Romans was summed up in the verse I just gave you. And so he says, in light of what I just said, that God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become righteous. He says, therefore, in light of that, there is now no what? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. And if you can get that, though everything here on earth will pull you away from that, you will realize and you will reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. You see, how does God feel about you and I when we blow it? How does he feel? I want to suggest something. I want to suggest that when Dwight Mason blows it, when you blow it, when you do that which you wish you wouldn't have done, that God is moved with compassion. That he's moved with compassion. That in your deepest, worst day, and maybe that day would be summed up that you relapsed in your addiction, or maybe you had a big fight with your spouse, and it was basically your fault. Or maybe you overreacted to one of your kids. Or maybe you did something dishonest. Or maybe you made a selfish decision. In your worst of times, God moves towards you and I with compassion, not judgment. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's my view of God. See, look what David says. David says this in Psalms 116, and let me tell you, David did not always behave well. David did not always perform well. He was an adulteress. He was a murderer, okay? He wasn't a great father most of the time, okay? And yet here's what he writes about the Lord. He says, the Lord is gracious. He's full of grace. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. Do you see God that way? Do you see God that way? That's so huge. He says that the Lord is gracious and righteous. He always does what is right. He always does what is best for you and me. And then look at this. And our God is full of compassion. That means, that's beyond sympathy. Sympathy means I'm sorry. Compassion means I'm here to help you out. I'm here to help you out. And so when you relapse into that addiction, when you have that argument and it's all your fault, when you overreact to that son, that daughter, that spouse, that employee, whoever it is, when you lie and cheat, when you do that selfish act, God isn't angry and mad at you. God is full of compassion. He wants to help you out. He wants to help me out. You see, this is why it's so important that we get this right. Because here's what I want you to know. What you believe either empowers you or it limits you. What you believe about God and what you believe on how he views you, it's either empowering you or it's limiting you. And so what I want to do in the time that I have left is I want to share with you three truths that I want to encourage all of us to embrace because it gives us an idea of how God views us. And when you know the truth, it'll what? It'll set you free. So let me give them to you, okay? Here's three truths about me. Here's three truths about you, okay? Here's the first one. I am chosen. I am chosen. This is all through the filter of Jesus, okay? I am chosen. And this is so, so, so important. Let me ask us a question here. How many of us have been rejected? Anybody here experienced rejection? Sure. All of us have. Not a good feeling. And the root of rejection will disable you. Some of us here today, we're not functioning very well. You know why? Because we got rejected as a kid. And we've never been able to overcome it. And so it affects every relationship, every decision that we have. Maybe your mom and dad got divorced when you were young, and you took it as a form of rejection. And you've never been able to get over it. Maybe your father rejected you. Maybe your mother abandoned you. I don't know, maybe you didn't get to marry your high school sweetheart, okay? But all of us here have been rejected in one way or another, and it can disable us. And the world knows this. Matter of fact, the world has written much on this. As I was preparing for this message, you know, it reminded me of a book. It's out in the business world, 101 Ways to Overcome Rejection. You know what they do? They list 101 ways in which you will purposefully get rejected. Go ask a stranger for $1,000. Just stupid stuff like that. And they just say, get used to rejection. But God has a different solution to you and I being rejected. And it's this. We've been chosen. Look at what Peter has to say here. He says, you have been chosen by God himself. Wow, it doesn't get better than that. You remember being on the playground? Huh? Kickball, right? Everybody's nervous. Am I going to get chosen or am I going to be left out? And you know what? That never leaves us. That never leaves us. I was talking to one of our kids and I was telling them, we were talking about life and I was talking about them going for an interview or maybe dating somebody. And I told him, I said, if you're afraid of rejection, you're going to live in a very small world. A very small world. Because you won't take any risk. You won't put yourself out there. But what you need to remember is that you have been chosen by God himself. And when you understand that you're chosen, listen to me very carefully. When you understand that you're chosen by God, then what happens is this. Rejection in your life becomes protection. God, you've chosen me. You have a plan for me. You've ordained the days for me to live in. And so I'm going to live through the filter of your truth, that you have chosen me. You have a plan for me. You have a great future for me. You see, God has chosen you and I, and that means that He loves you and I, and He loves you and I unconditional. Nobody on planet Earth has done that. Nobody on planet Earth loves you unconditionally. But God says, I have chosen you, and I love you with an everlasting love. And guess what's great about God's love? It's consistent. It's consistent, and this is huge. Human love is inconsistent. The way in which your wife loves you is inconsistent, fella. The way in which your husband loves you, lady, is inconsistent. The way in which your friends love you is inconsistent. We're all inconsistent in this. And so, maybe you've had a spouse, maybe you've had a parent, maybe you've had a boss that is such a moody person that you don't know from one day to the other whether they're going to hug you or slug you. And so it's made you feel insecure. You don't know what you're going to get because you don't know what kind of mood that they're in. Can I say that God is consistent, that He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, and that He loves me the same when I get it right, and He loves me the same when I get it wrong because I have been chosen by Him. He says, I want you as my son. I want you as my daughter. And it really doesn't matter what other people say or do with you because I'm God. I'm the one that knitted you together in your mother's womb. Some of us here today, we're waiting to be chosen by some people that may never choose you. But God has. And that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. And so I want you to grasp this truth. I am chosen. Listen, if you know that you're chosen, then it'll make you be a risk taker. Because it really doesn't matter if somebody rejects you, quote unquote. Because God has chosen you. And it'll change the way in which you relate to yourself. And it'll change the way in which you relate to other people. Here's the second truth I want to share with us, and that is this. I am complete. I am complete. Wow. This is huge. I am complete. Let me ask us this question, okay? How many of us have insecurities? Why do we have insecurities? Because we feel we're incomplete. That's why we don't share. That's why we don't become vulnerable with one another. Because somebody may find out in our thinking that we're incomplete. And so we live a life full of insecurities. Matter of fact, the epidemic in our world today is low self-esteem. And it's rampant among women. Moms, very easy for you to get into your own thinking and say, you know what? I'm not complete. I fall short of being a mom. And yet, here's the good news, okay? I want you to hear this. Look at this. You are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. Do you know what that means? That means that you lack nothing. You lack nothing. You are complete in Him. There's nothing that needs to be added to you to be complete. You have been made full. There's nothing missing. There are not other things that you need to add to your life to make you complete. You are whole. You are complete in Him. You lack nothing. What would happen to your life if you would embrace that truth? That you're complete. It set you free. And not only for moms here today, but for all of us men. Can I just tell you that Jesus Christ is enough? Now, if you run it through your personal filter, it won't be. If you run it through what other people think, it won't be. If you run it through the world's filter, it won't be. But if you run it through God's filter, He will say that Jesus Christ is enough. And in Him, you are complete. You are made whole. You are made whole. Some of you ladies here, you know what? You haven't been able to bear children. And it's a painful, painful subject. And you've believed the lie that somehow if you could bear a child, that you would be complete. It's a lie. It's a lie. You're precious and you're valuable and you are significant because you are complete in Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, you're complete. Y'all okay? How about this one? I am capable. I am capable. Wow. How many of us here today feel inadequate? I just feel inadequate as a father. I just feel inadequate as a mother. I just feel inadequate as a spouse, or I feel inadequate as a leader. Here's the truth. You're fully capable. You're fully capable. You are capable of doing everything that God would ask of you. You're fully capable of fulfilling every role that God asks of you. Now, let me help you on this. You're not fully capable of doing anything you want to do. Well, that's where we get into trouble. See, the reason why we want to do things other than what God wants us to do is because we don't feel that we're complete. And so what happens is we end up adventuring out into things that we think that will make us complete. And you're only capable, I'm only capable of doing that which God is asking me to do. And yet if God is asking you to fulfill a role, or if God is asking you to take on a responsibility, then you're more than capable. You can have confidence to be able to do that. Here's what Paul writes. He writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, the capacity we have comes from God. That's why I can't do anything that I want to do. I have to find out, God, what do you want me to do? What role do you want me to fulfill? What's your calling on my life? He says, it is He who made us capable of serving the new covenant. And so what we have to understand is, God says to you and me, here's how I see you, Dwight. You're chosen, man. I've chosen you. You know what else? You're complete. You are complete. There's nothing that needs to be added to you. You are whole. You know what else, Dwight? You're more than capable to do everything that I ask you to do. Matter of fact, you know what? You're more than capable to handle everything that life throws at you. You're more than capable. It's called confidence. God wants to give you confidence to be able to do that. One of my favorite verses, and I share this with you often, is Philippians 4:13. It's one of my life verses. I have the strength for most things. No, excuse me. I have the strength for all things in who? In Christ. That's God's filter. Who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Wow. Listen, I don't know what next week holds. I'm more than capable of handling it, though. I don't know what's going to happen this summer over the next 3 months, but you know what? I know I'm more than capable of handling it. I don't know what's going on in the next year. I don't know what's going to happen to my 4 kids. I don't know what's going to happen to Patty. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen here at New Point. Here's what I know, though. I'm more than capable of handling it. You know why? Because that's how God sees me. That's how God sees you. And let me wrap up with a question. Psychologists say that we develop our self-concept and image and our self-worth from the way in which we believe the most important person views us. So let me ask you a question today. Who's the most important person in your life? If it's other than God, you're going to have a skewed view of yourself. I promise you. And so the most important decision that you and I could make today is to be able to make God the most important person in my life. Because he sees you as being chosen, not rejected. He sees you as being complete and not insecure. He sees you as being capable, not a person full of insecurities. And listen to me, the way in which you see yourself is the way in which you relate to other people. That's why this is so, so, so important. So don't use your filter. Don't use other people's filter. Don't use the world's filter. Use God's filter. And in Christ, he sees you as being chosen, complete, and capable. Would you pray with me? Maybe today you need to make God the most important person in your life. Say, Dwight, how do I do that? You pray a simple yet life-transforming prayer. Just say, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I want to see you as the most important person in my life. I want to place you as first in my life. And so I invite you to come and to forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and fill me with your love and with your acceptance and with your power. Help me to believe what is true, and that is that you've chosen me and that I'm complete and that I'm capable. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.